This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey guys, Matt Schrader here from Score the Podcast. Here's a little bonus section that we recorded in our interview with Mark Mothersbaugh, the composer, talking about working with Wes Anderson and some of the creative vision that Anderson brings to projects and how Mark works with that. Enjoy.
You worked with a director on a number of films who is notorious for being slightly particular, and that's Wes Anderson. And yeah. I'd just be curious because I know a little about him. I read an article once on how he decorated his French apartment and how specific he was about the tile and the cabinets. Was he different than other directors to work with musically?
Yeah, I think Wes Anderson is a real artist. And but I mean, he's also a very specific kind of artist who really needs to control everything.
It's called a director.
Yeah, it's a director, but you know, there's different versions of those now, and you know, directors come out of commercial world where they're used to just whatever the client says, they just say the same thing, you know, back to him, and he was a guy. He kind of reminded me of Devo because we were willing to trade off royalties so we could keep the rights to design our own album covers and do our own graphics. And he did the same thing with his stuff. He would trade away his royalties so that he could have more control over his film. And I kind of thought, well, that's pretty great. That's a serious artist at that point.
Is he musical?
He's knowledgeable.
Okay.
And he did on a couple of the movies kind of try to play a bass he couldn't take it and he came out while we had a choir out there and sang along with him and stuff like that, and he was always paying attention to it. And when I knew him on all his first films, and so in those days he was not, I don't think agoraphobic is the right word, that's a little too extreme, but he loved being in, like, either I had a second bedroom that was my studio at the time when we did Bottle Rocket. And then, or even upstairs, he would just want to sit in the one room the whole time. And I'd say, you know, if we go out on a soundstage, we could record this thing in one day. And it's going to take us 2 weeks of bringing people in here five at a time to record it. And he would stick with, let's record them five at a time back in those days.
So interesting.
I'm sure he's over that now because I watched him like develop, where on Bottle Rocket he liked all these high sounds. He liked tinkly sounds. He liked celestes and bells and harpsichords and things, and said, no brass. And wouldn't let me use any low instruments. And it wasn't until Royal Tannenbaum's where I kind of snuck a baritone trombone go wow underneath a picture of Gene Haskell. And he goes, what's that? I said, it's a trombone. And he goes, okay, we'll use that.
Yeah, he slipped one through.
So then he started like kind of loosening up. And by the time we got to Life Aquatic, we had a 50-piece orchestra in the film.
You said that he paid attention, which I think is a really wonderful compliment to a director, because as you know, and I certainly saw, not every director does pay attention to the music. Some of them are off doing special effects while you're just kind of, you know, jamming at the tape and finishing the score, and they come in after you've recorded everything and tell you what you should have done.
Oh, by the way, we've re-edited this whole scene while you were writing the music.
So it's a great compliment.
Does the framing and the style that they shoot in, you know, with the framing and the cinematography, does that affect how you write? Because, you know, a lot of movies are shot completely different, and Wes Anderson's films all have kind of that really uniform look. Does that change the way you approach writing music?
I think I can't speak for every composer, but I think for a lot of people it really does, because, you know, it's like you read a script and you try to imagine what you're going to see, and then when you see it, you go, how'd that happen? Or you go, oh, that's incredible, you know, and sometimes it's better than you expected, and sometimes it's not. And so you see areas where you have to help lift it up, and you know where your work is when once you see it. So, yeah, I think how a film looks is really important.
I think the sometimes it's not is tests the mettle of any, M-E-T-T-L-E mettle of any good or great composer. Is what do you do when you look at a picture and the lights come up at the end and you turn to the director and you say, what can I say? Those costumes are incredible. Yeah. And you know that. And I've also seen a few times, I've seen not only an editing process relieve you of that first cut anxiety where it came together, and even the addition of some wonderful music suddenly make things make sense. So it's rescuable. And some are just, you just want to say, you know, why don't we all just stop here? We'd save ourselves a lot of time and money.
And and you're still on the treadmill, no matter what. You're still on the path down to the bottom of the hill.
Oh, God. How do you get out of the way?
That's it for this bonus edition of Score the Podcast. Thanks for listening. Please remember to tell a friend and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week with John Powell.